A while back, I was talking to someone who teaches in a public school in the middle of a large American city, and she proudly told me how her school had gone through a radical transformation. You see, they got a new principal. And under this new principal's leadership, discipline problems had gone down, attendance had gone up, and the place was transformed. How did this happen, I asked. Well, she said, I would have to say it was the uniforms. The uniforms, I said. Yes, the new principal required our students to wear uniforms. And it was amazing. Overnight, discipline problems vanished. The students loved their uniforms. So many tensions that previously were felt because some parents couldn't afford the latest fashion statements. Many of the tensions between girls and girls and boys have all vanished. The kids love these uniforms. The place is transformed, I tell you, she said. Now, we have heard Paul's admonition to the church in Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God. And on first reading, the admonition to get all dressed up for Jesus in the epistle sounds superficial. Is that all that's involved? If you want to be a policeman, do you go out and get a policeman's uniform and put it on and voila, you're a policeman? Of course, I once knew a fellow whose father-in-law had been an Episcopal bishop before he died, and this fellow was known to give dinner parties and appear at these parties in his dead father-in-law's clerical collar and scarlet vest. Did that make him a bishop, too? Or did it simply signify the insanity that goes with those clothes? I digress. Surely being a Christian is more than simply putting on the whole armor of God. Elsewhere, Paul says we ought to put on Christ. Is that all there is? Put on your Sunday best? Look dignified and spiffy and people will think you're faithful? Of course, faithfulness is more than that, but it is certainly not less than that. From time to time, somebody comes to me and says, I want to believe, I want to follow Christ, I want to be part of what you're doing, I want to be faithful, but I just can't believe in the resurrection, I can't swallow the virgin birth, I can't believe God took on human form. And as often as not, I'm inclined to say, well, just act as if you believed and it will come to you. I remember a number of years ago in my last parish, someone came to me and told me he no longer loved his wife. I asked him if he could act as if he loved her. Sometimes it is in the making believe that we come to believe. The church used to speak of the baptism of desire. The baptism of desire. To receive the power of the sacraments as God intended, the person had to, at least, desire the effect of the sacrament promised. Go ahead. Go through the motions, we promise, and it will all eventually come to you. You will get it. God will give you that which you now only desire. Maybe faith is something we must act like we have in order to have it. Or as John Wesley said to his preachers, preach the faith until you have it. And so maybe the way to become a mature, competent disciple of Christ is to get up, get dressed on Sunday morning, participate in the liturgies of the church, open your hymnal when you're told to, open your mouth, recite the prayers when we tell you to, and sooner, one day you will wake up and find you're a Christian. I particularly commend this to those of you who are about to go off to college this coming year. Going off to college so often means a decrease in your Sunday morning church attendance. You will not come out of college more a Christian if you do not get your butt to church once in a while than if you do. Simply get up and go. So many things in life work like this. Why shouldn't the Christian faith work like this? Earlier this year, I was talking with a friend of mine who is an actress. She was telling me about how much she loved her craft and how much she had enjoyed teaching acting on the college level. I asked her what she thought was the one most important aspect of becoming an actor, and she said, "That's easy, putting on the makeup." I know, she said, it might sound superficial in the literal sense of the word, but it is more than skin deep. A good makeup job is one that the audience can't see. How can a thin layer of grease paint and color make you a good actor? I asked her. And she said, but I realize that the makeup is not so much for the audience as it is for you. When you sit there before the mirror and spend 30 minutes putting on this makeup, you participate in the transformation. You take on the character by taking on the mask of that character. You're different. In Greek drama, they always wore masks. I don't think we've gotten beyond that. It's too difficult to take on the role without some help. That's where the makeup comes in, she said. For the life of me, I still can't get accustomed to people walking around with corporate names emblazoned on their clothes as if they're walking billboards. When this trend first came about, I was taken unaware. I looked at someone, I thought, gosh, Old Navy, that is a strange name to give a kid. It seemed perverse to nickname your child The Gap. I saw someone who had a double-barreled moniker, Abercrombie and Fitch. Might be an Episcopalian, I thought. Is there any more stunning portrayal of the grip that capitalism has on us? We have no identity other than the brand we've plastered over our chest, the corporation with which we're associated. Our bodies are now part of someone's advertising campaign. It's as if we don't exist unless we have a corporate name on us. I think we should charge these companies for proudly displaying their corporate logos. Adidas should pay us for wearing the shoes rather than the other way around. But maybe we pay them for these clothes because they are giving us a sense of identity we wouldn't have if we didn't have their name on us. In a sense, these clothes tell us who we are. And so maybe we make a mistake in thinking that the Christian faith has got to get deep within you, has got to become something you profoundly believe or feel or deeply understand. Maybe the faith is something on the outside before it can be something on the inside. I know that people who are not Christians often judge the faith by the outward behavior of Christians. Many of them say they don't follow Christ because the Christians they know don't seem outwardly different than anyone else. And of course, I explain that the Christian faith is a great deal more than outward and visible actions. It's also a matter of the heart and the mind, something deep within the soul. The faith works profoundly within. But maybe these critics are onto something. Perhaps the Christian faith is external. A set of habits, some predictable motions you go through, regardless of how you're feeling at any particular moment. Maybe your inner disposition is not all that big a deal. Perhaps you're more likely to act your way into believing than to believe your way into acting. I find it interesting that Jesus doesn't say, close your eyes and think really deep thoughts about me until you come to a self-awareness whereby you believe in me. No, Jesus simply says, follow me. Put one foot in front of the other. Fall in line. Imitate me. Tag along. Try to walk as I walk. Try to live as I live. And pretend these folks next to you are your brothers and sisters. Eventually, you'll get it. Therefore, when someone comes forward for baptism, maybe we should ask not simply, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Maybe I ought to say, will you give us 10% of your income? Will you invite at least one person a month to church? Put on Christ, and Christ will get inside of you. I know someone who decided that pacifism was the only response that Christians could make with regard to using violence in self-defense. So, when these matters arose in discussion, he would mention he was a pacifist. And he had all the reasons why pacifism made good biblical sense. But inside, he lacked the inner commitment to pacifism as a way of life. Well, inevitably, people argued with him when he told them he was a pacifist. Some of them would get angry. They attacked his reasoning. What would you do if your family and your wife were being attacked and all the rest? And he endured it and became more articulate in the process. And as he became more articulate, he became more convinced, attempting to convince others. And he said one day he woke up and he realized he was a pacifist. I really deeply believed I could live no other way. These people trying to argue me out of pacifism by attacking my reasons and all the rest had made me a true Christian pacifist, he said. So the epistle to the Ephesians explains to the Christians in that congregation, don't go out there poorly dressed. If you're going to play football, put on a helmet. If you're going to be good at soccer, get the right shoes. If you're going to be a disciple, put on the faith. Dress up in love. Clothe yourselves with good intentions. Wrap the promises and protection of God around you. Read the Bible, even if you don't understand it. Pray, even when you don't feel like it. Confess the faith in the creed, even when you don't believe it. Then, having dressed for the challenge, go out and meet it. Put the whole armor of God on, and you will become that which you profess. You will become that which you desire. Amen.